And episode number 18 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast is brought to you by the Yankees injured list, the IL, because at the rate that it's growing, it may have an advertising budget soon enough.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Here's radio host and lifelong Yankees fan, Ralphie Aversa.
By the way, big change this year from the DL to the IL. We'll talk about that and about one of the players on the aforementioned IL with one of our guests this week on episode number 18 inside season 2 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Hello, I am Ralphie Aversa. Spent opening weekend up at the stadium, caught a couple games, caught opening day, which was cold but a lot of fun. Big thank you to our buddy Eric, who his seats are awesome, by the way. Section 417 up in the grandstand, but row 1. So you got a beautiful view of the field. No one in front of you. He's close to the aisle. He's in the shade the entire time. So a game like Thursday, maybe not ideal, but those hot summer days, that will be absolutely perfect. Hopefully we get to join him for a few more games. So thank you to Eric for that. And then we had quite the adventure on Sunday. Had a whole squad of people with us, spent way too much time at Stadium Pizza on 157th and River, did eventually get my calendar for calendar day and make it inside for a little bit of the game, did leave early, and look, we don't normally break down what happens on the field anyways, win-loss records, so on and so forth. Not ideal what's been happening. More so, though, the injured list that has continued to grow. From Severino and Sabathia to Betances and Giancarlo Stanton and, of course, Miguel Andujar. And the latest, Troy Tulowitzki, calf strain, taking him out of Wednesday afternoon's game against the Tigers. We're taping this during the game, so we'll wait to see what happens with that. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. Not that we were expecting Tulo to anchor our lineup, but, I mean, enough's enough, enough here. Jeez. Few more Uber rides, I guess, up from northeastern Pennsylvania to the Bronx, as Tyler Wade did when the news of Miguel Andujar's injury broke earlier this week. A couple other quick notes real quick. What I liked, what I didn't like opening day. What I liked, grandstand terrace level, they have added a bunch of beer stations and bars, so you don't have to travel all across the stadium to get there or have any special access to get a mixed drink. So I love that. What I didn't love was seeing the lines from the soccer field still on the baseball diamond. Is this Joe Robbie? Is this Candlestick Park? Or is this the big ballpark in the Bronx? The boss rolling in his grave, I'm sure, on opening day as the lines, the midfield lines and the goal lines and the boundary lines from NYCFC. By the way, I haven't been to a game. I probably won't go now after that. That was just, that was brutal. Not a good look. Yankees wrapping up their first homestand of the season. Then they head down to Baltimore this weekend. I will not be going. I will be in Vegas, so don't cry for me again. However, if you are going, Pickles is a must game, must pregame stop. Definitely got to hit that up. And then if you're looking for something else to do while you're in Baltimore this weekend, especially if the weather's nice, I haven't looked at the forecast, but go to Fells Point. A lot of great spots around there, including Lil Phil's, where you can order yourself a Natty Bow and take part in a little free pool and dollar Jello shots. And away you go on that. Okay, great podcast for you on deck. We mentioned all of the injured Yankees, including Andujar, a small tear of the labrum in the right shoulder. What does that mean? And what's the prognosis? We'll try to get an idea of it, although he's not treating Miguel, of course. He is a huge Yankees fan and a doctor of physical therapy, host of a wildly popular physical therapy podcast as well called the PT Pinecast. We'll be joined by Jimmy McKay next. And then after that, an interview we taped recently at the David Ortiz Celebrity Golf Classic. Yes, the golf classic that benefits Big Poppy's Foundation. He helps out kids with heart disease both in New England and in his native Dominican Republic. But a number of Yankees throughout the years have supported him in that, including the chef man himself, Gary Sheffield. You will hear from Gary Sheffield and our sit-down conversation with Mr. Sheffield later in the podcast. So a lot to get to on episode number 18 inside season 2 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Jimmy McKay, doctor of physical therapy, joins us next. And welcome back to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. I am Ralphie Aversa. The Yankees IL continues to grow. By the way, it's not a DL anymore this year. They changed that to the injured list. Troy Tulowitzki, obviously, as we tape this podcast, got pulled out of a game. He's got a calf strain, apparently, so they don't know what that's going to entail. We'll have to wait and see. Of all of the injury news, though, it seems the biggest involves, and maybe the longest from an implication standpoint, involves Miguel Andujar, the Yankees sophomore third baseman, had a great rookie campaign. And of course, Sunday at a game I and our next guest was at on Sunday, while sliding back into third base, Andujar apparently suffered a small tear of the labrum in his right shoulder. What exactly does that mean? Well, that's why we bring on our next guest to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. He is a doctor of physical therapy, the director of communications at Fox Rehabilitation, and the host of the PT Pinecast, which as of last month surpassed 1.4 million downloads. He is Jimmy McKay. Jimmy, it was great to hang with you in the Bronx this past weekend, and thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, good to be back. We hung out for a little bit longer with that rain delay. We got to pregame. The pregame just kept pregaming.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. And something I came to realize, I don't know if you did your clothes smell like whatever cleaner they use at Stadium Pizza?
You know, I didn't even notice, honestly. By the time I got home, it was we had a couple of beers.
It was a prolonged hang at Stadium Pizza, which I have always been a huge fan of. It's on 157th, right around the corner there on River. I would say this, the past couple times I've gone in there, there was a very interesting smell. In the, first of all, it's not the cleanest place, and you pick that up by walking into the bathroom. However, there is a certain cleaner they use, and it's not like a flowery smell. It's like the same type of cleaner you would expect like hazmat to use if something like really bad happened in there. And basically, like after being there for 3 hours and waiting out the rain delay like we did this past Sunday, my clothes smelled of that. So I would say moving forward, while I'm still a fan of Stadium Pizza, not maybe the place to hang out for 3 hours. While we were there taking advantage of 3 to 10 beers, the Yankees, I thought, were staying loose. Two injuries came up of this game on Sunday, at least two that we know of, one being Giancarlo Stanton, our guest from last week on the podcast, who suffered a bicep strain and is on the 10-day IL. And then, of course, Andujar, who was on third base, slid back into the base, completed the rest of the game, but then, as we later found out, suffered this small tear in his labrum. So, Jimmy, first things first, what is the labrum?
So actually, I want to start with something you brought up that I wasn't planning on talking about, which is the change between DL to IL. And that goes, that as a physical therapist, that talks about what people are able to do. A physical therapist might work with athletes. You know, there's PTs on the medical staff for the New York Yankees. But physical therapists work with all people of abilities level. So this is actually a language issue that's right in the heart of my world of physical therapy, is they're talking about disability being, people who might be born with something that would preclude them from doing something versus an injury. So they've actually separated that. So now they're referring to it as the IL. Now, what did we originally bring me in for? The labrum. That's what everybody wants to know. So the shoulder and the hip are both ball and socket joints. I think we can really visualize that. If you ball up one fist and you cup your other hand over it, that's the ball and socket. The hip is a really, really deep ball and socket. When you hear someone dislocating a hip, that's a devastating injury, just like Bo Jackson when he dislocated his hip, which led to his career-shortening injury. But the shoulder is also technically a ball and socket joint, but it's not as deep as the hip. So I was taught it's really easy to visualize. it's more of a golf ball on a golf tee. That technically is still a ball and socket joint, but it's not as deep. And the labrum comes in as kind of a gasket. It's this cartilage ring that helps to deepen the golf tee around the golf ball, if we're using that analogy for the shoulder. And the issue with the labrum is throwing overhead, and this is where you get, you know, little league coaches trying to limit innings in players. It has a lot to do with elbow health, but also shoulder health, is that labrum is this cartilage ring that helps to deepen that socket. It's also prone to, when you're throwing overhead, injuries. And it's really dangerous in professional baseball players because it's so gentle. It does heal itself, but not as well as most of the rest of the body. So hearing that they will try a conservative approach with this labrum injury. And again, I'm not treating, so I'm not 100% sure what the extent of his imaging was saying. But hearing that it's a labrum injury isn't great, but don't run to season ending just yet. The next couple of weeks will be pretty telling in terms of what he's able to do. And you did mention something as well, which is you're being a great PT, trying to stay warm. You know, you're hearing about the calf injury from Tulowitzki that you just mentioned, the bicep injury from Giancarlo, which we'll get to. Those could be due to staying warm or not staying warm because, and we'll wrap the two injuries together, the bicep actually attaches right next to the labrum. So if you have a biceps tear or a labrum issue, one could look like or feel like another.
We have a doctor of physical therapy, host of the PT Pinecast, Jimmy McKay, with us here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. I'm Ralphie Aversa. All right, so covered a lot there is, and by the way, great visualization. That's the best I've heard the labrum explained. So now I actually know what it is. And you talked about the conservative approach, at least for now, that the Yankees are taking. I mean, what's typically speaking, and again, because you're not treating Miguel, you can't speak specifically to his situation. We did hear, however, about Greg Bird, who basically, and nobody knew this, went through the same thing in 2015. Nobody realized that he actually had a small tear of his labrum in 2015, took the conservative approach, was able to rehab it, come back, and then had that big impactful year with the Yankees in 2015. The downer to that story, though, is that he eventually did need surgery in 2016. So with that overhead motion, with also the sliding motion with the shoulders, I mean, for me, I look at this and I almost think that it may be inevitable that he needs surgery. And Duhar, am I wrong to think that?
So I was actually listening to some of my colleagues. This guy by the name of Lenny Macrina works with a guy by the name of Mike Reinhold. And those two guys had been affiliated with the Boston Red Sox and Dr. James Andrews, who pretty much invented Tommy John surgery. So these guys know baseball and they know upper extremity. And they said, listen, there's evidence out there that if you take an MRI of most professional baseball players, because these guys have been throwing baseball since they were 5 and 6, if you take an MRI of most of these guys with or without pain or symptoms, you're going to find a tear. Okay, so this is really something that PTs are good at, which is education. Just because you find something on imaging doesn't mean you have to rush to surgery. So the good thing is right now, I mean, the Yankees are pretty stacked, right? They have some people that can slide in behind these players, and these are high value players. So we're not going to rush these guys back to service. So I would have to say no, not necessarily. I mean, you just gave the great example of Bird, who they wound up finding out he did have a tear, but needed surgery. My guess, that tear that they found on his imaging was probably there for a while. And you could image a bunch of people, like I said, and it really is, they're going to act on it based on symptoms and ability versus what you find on a scan. Because again, if you scan me, believe me, man, you're going to find a lot of stuff.
Before we wrap, Jimmy, anything to add on the Stanton injury or no?
Stanton injury right now, I'm looking at biceps injuries and especially a tendon injury. And again, I don't know the ins and outs, but I would say this is going to be short term. They're probably going to reduce his workload for a little bit. He's going to do some, you know, non-baseball, I'm using air quotes, non-baseball work, which means staying in shape, but they're probably going to limit his throwing as well. So again, these two things can come together in terms of where the labrum actually is and where the biceps tendons, because the biceps has two heads, where it attaches. One of those attachments is near the labrum. My guess is they're just going to limit his activities for a little while. My guess is you'll see him back in a week or two doing some DH work. Hopefully we get a little bit warmer, so some of these injuries will hopefully decrease. But I don't think anything major for Giancarlo. I'd say fingers are definitely crossed, or I'd put the hopes and prayers in terms of that labrum injury.
Again, he is a doctor of physical therapy, host of the PT Pinecast, which you can find at ptpinecast.com or wherever else you find podcasts, including this one, of course, the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Jimmy McKay, great hang last weekend. Hope we get to do it a few more times here up in the Bronx. And as always, thanks for the knowledge.
I want to be back on the show, and I want to be bearer of good news. All right. Yeah. So I'll bring some good news the next time when these guys are making full recoveries and we get on with the season.
I like that. Coming up on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, Gary Sheffield. Hang on. And welcome back to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Don't forget, we're at Pinstripe Lanes on all of your favorite social networks. Okay. So I went this past fall down to the Dominican Republic for my first time to the David Ortiz Celebrity Golf Classic, benefiting the David Ortiz Children's Fund. Big Poppy is a very, first of all, he's a great host, but also he's super caring and he gives back. And I know it's a little weird, it's a Yankee podcast and I'm talking lovingly of Ortiz here. Look, I hated him just as much as any other Yankee fan in between the baseball lines, but you know, off the field, it's a different story, as you'll come to hear with our guest this week. And so Poppy has this foundation. He uses it to help kids who are battling heart disease, both in New England and in the Dominican Republic. It's a great weekend that he has down in his native Dominican Republic. A lot of other athletes and celebrities, stars from music and movies, all come down. A lot of big sponsors as well. There's a great live auction. And it's just it's great that, A, Poppy does the work that he does with his foundation, but it's also be great that he shows off the Dominican Republic, his country, in such a great light, in such a great fashion. And I truly enjoyed my time down there with him and his crew and with everyone in the DR. While I was there, of course, a number of athletes participating in the cause, and a couple of former Yankees, one of course being Johnny Damon, who may be the only athlete that can walk into any restaurant in New York or Boston and have a drink and or meal purchased for him and his crew. But the other being somebody who probably wasn't too beloved in Boston, but I enjoyed his time as a Yankee for sure, and I know a lot of my friends did as well. And that of course was former Yankee number 11, Mr. Gary Sheffield. And it was interesting. I started off my chat with Gary by recalling a time in 2016, May of 2016. It was Poppy's last season in the bigs. And I remember going to a game, a Saturday day game in the Bronx. The Yankees ended up winning. It was one of those like 4 o'clock first pitches on Fox, Yankees, Red Sox. Poppy goes 0-for-4, Yankees win. I'm so pumped up. I'm like, you know what? I'm buying tickets and I'm buying good seats because I want to be close to the action. I want to be able to boo Poppy and I want him to be able to hear me boo him. So I buy tickets for Sunday night baseball the next night at Yankee Stadium. I'm about 12 rows behind home. Poppy, you know how this story ends. 2-for-4, 2 home runs, Red Sox win. And I feel like that was a pretty good summation, a good microcosm of what it was like to be a Yankee fan rooting against Big Poppy. I asked Gary Sheffield, what was it like to be a player in the opposing dugout playing against Big Poppy?
Well, it was frightening, you know, when he came up to the plate, especially when the game was on the line as an outfielder, you know, this big left-hand hitter standing up there, you know, majority of the time balls are coming at me and my way, so I seen a lot of balls sail over my head. And, you know, and I seen balls sail over the left fielder's head. So at the end of the day, you know, Big Poppy has always been a threat with the bat. And, you know, playing against him for all the years that we have, you know, we always respect his game and we always respect him as a person.
Yeah, you know, I find that very interesting, too, the fact that, you know, you do have, you know, a lot of former players, whether they were teammates or not, that come here to the Dominican Republic and have come throughout the years to support this. Why is that?
Because he's a people's person, and, you know, it just, he sprues out the energy and the love that he has. And he received it back from all athletes because he puts out good energy. And when you do that as a player, your peers respect you for that. This is my fourth time here. You know, I started seeing the difference that he was making in kids' lives, you know, especially, you know, being, you know, in competition all these years. And when people, you know, when baseball players give back, we feel like we're part of the family and doing so. And I feel like just coming here, I paid my little small part of pitching in, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Do you have a Poppy story from your playing days you could share or no?
Well, actually, I went over and I no New York fans and Boston fans don't know this, but I actually went over to his house in Boston before a game and had dinner with, you know, lunch with him and his dad. His dad was in town. He wanted me to meet his dad, so he brought me over there. He had his family over there, and we hung out before a game.
Is that one of those things, especially in the height of the rivalry, is that one of those things where it's like you have no problem doing it, but you got to make sure no one sees you getting in and out?
Exactly. You know, we know what the rival means to the fans, and we try to respect that. But at the end of the day, the players don't hate each other. It's just when you get between the lines, that's when, you know, I wouldn't use the word hate, but that's when you take the rival, you know, serious. But off the field, we are human beings.
Talking with Gary Sheffield here in the Dominican Republic, of course, at David Ortiz's annual golf charity classic. How's the TV gig going?
Oh, it's going fine. You know, I'm having a lot of fun with Pedro. I never thought I'd be sitting on TV talking with Pedro and hanging out at Big Poppy's golf tournaments. But, you know, they once I got to know these guys, they're wonderful guys, good-hearted people, you know, good family men. That's what I'm all about. So, you know, when people putting out the vibe and living the lifestyle that you're living, then you want to be a part of theirs as well.
You know, I think about you, and so there's somebody else I think about when, you know, I talk players making that transition into now, you know, good media analysts. I think of Paul O'Neill as well, because both of you guys weren't always considered in the media as very outgoing people. We'll just put it like that. And yet now you've both become very good on television. What has it been like to see the game from a different side now?
Well, because you start understanding when guys are struggling, you know what they're going through. And basically, you know how to, you know, bring the reality to the fan and get the fan engaged on what's going on with that player, whether he's playing good or he's playing bad. We never try to – I always try to deal with a player how I want to be dealt with. And if I'm talking about a player I wouldn't say a negative way, but just telling the truth about his play, there's nothing wrong with that. As a player, I wanted somebody to critique my play. And if they talked about if I was playing bad, why am I getting mad about them telling the truth? And I think that's where all players want to be treated.
Wrapping up here with Gary Sheffield, there's a silent auction for the charity. There's a lot of great memorabilia items. Do you have what's the one keepsake you have from your playing days?
I got a Hank Aaron jersey signed by Hank Aaron. When I signed to go to the Braves, it never dawned on me that this is the man that my granddad was talking about all these years. And then I finally get the chance to meet him and talk with him, and he was just a great person. He signed a jersey for me when I got there, and I never forget it.
My thanks to Jimmy McKay of PT Pintcast fame. My thanks to Gary Sheffield and, of course, everyone at the David Ortiz Children's Fund. My thanks to you for rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you get podcasts. And, of course, following along at Pinstripe Lanes on all of your favorite social networks. I'm Ralph Yaversa, and this is the Pinstripe Lanes Podcast. Let's go, Yankees.